again, fellas. Welcome, Denver. Have you guys been to Denver before?
It's actually our second time, so we were last year. I think it's a bit different vibes.
Yeah, you know? There's a bullishness in the air.
Yeah, you feel it. Can you feel the energy?
Yeah.
We never felt bullish bull market before, so I think definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we were media partners of Modular Day yesterday, and it was packed. Absolutely. It was so busy, you could hardly move around like in the event. So I think there's a lot of excitement around, obviously, the market. There's a lot of excitement around certain sectors, modular and modularity being a very, very timely one and very exciting one. So would love to understand your perspectives on the modular thesis, and then we'll dive into Lava and how it fits in, if it does.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think modularity is like a way for Web3 to scale, because you can have all these components that have been pre-built and they've been built in a way that's very reliable, and you can just rely on them to build on the shoulders of giants instead of reinventing the wheel from scratch every single time. So I think modularity is very strong, and we build Lava around being a modular data access layer. So I think as we see rollups and more chains come into play, we're going to be using this modular stack.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so the world of bajillion rollups, there's gonna be so many. All of these applications, whether we're going to see general purpose rollups or application specific rollups, I think everyone aligns on the thesis that we're going to see a lot more of these sovereign execution environments that ultimately interact with the rest of the Web3 landscape. So given that now we have a lot more, literally we have a lot more of these execution environments, a lot more of these modules, a big, big question is how we're going to connect all of them for seamless and easy user experiences. So would love to understand how Lava attempts to solve that problem.
Yeah, definitely. So I think like before jumping in to what is Lava, I think it's very important to understand our journey. You know, we've been in Web2 and founded a couple of startups before, so very techy and have a background of scaling products. Yeah, the first thing we realized when it came into Web3 is that the infrastructure is shit. And it's very, very hard to communicate it with this data access layer that Gil was mentioning before. So I think if today, it doesn't matter with which thesis you choose, right? If you go to monolithic chain, if you go to the modular thesis or the rollup-centric thesis. At the end of the day, the next bull run going to be impacted by how many dApps and application will be built on those things. And if you think that there are a few different layers that making a lot of impact, whether it's the execution layer where, you know, data availability and consensus, or the settlement layer, at the end of the day, the dApps need to speak with the data access layer. They need to read, write data. And if we don't take care of that and not make it scalable, available, much less fragmented, we believe that the barrier to entry for dApps would be much harder. And that's exactly what we started about.
Awesome. Okay, so traditionally, users interact with the data, they access data through RBCs. That's kind of like the channel of communication. So could you kind of like tell us like what really is an RPC? If that's like the data point, the access point, like what, why is it necessary? What, like we need to access the data, right? That's,
yeah,
that's
of course.
First problem. The RPC lets us do that. I guess my question is, how does the RPC work? And then we can get it to the nuts and
yeah, blah, blah. So think about RPC is like, when you talk to Facebook or go to any website, you need to go and get that data from them. And they have like database, right? And in the end, blockchains are just like a consensus-based distributed database. So how do you go and get that data? So an RPC is when you go to your wallet, you check your balance. That balance uses the RPC connection to get that balance. When you send a transaction, you send that to an RPC node and that distributes it and gossips about it all across the network. So this is basically what RPC is.
So I just want to make sure I understand correctly. Yes. So the RPC is gossiping this question Like I ask the RPC, what is my balance on this network? Yes. And the RPC goes and gossips to
Almost. The gossip part is only for transactions. The query part is an RPC node usually has its own state, its own database, essentially. And it just queries that database and gets your balance. And that node is responsible for syncing with all of the other nodes in the blockchain and getting the latest state as the blockchain continues and progress.
Awesome. As one of the full nodes in the distributed network.
But to keep it simple, it's just the server you talk to get information, right? You need to know your balance, you want to know the spot price of a mutual pair. All of that information is coming from an RPC node.
Okay. And now in the world of a bajillion rollups, all of them are modular. We now have all of these, we have a ton of databases, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we need to access data from these databases, and that's what Lava helps us do.
So think about, we were talking about the modular thesis, right? And we were saying, you know, there's going to be, you know, thousands of F chains and rollups and even monolithic chains, maybe not thousands, but many of them, and we see them already. But what is an important aspect of modularity is also composability. How do you connect all these chains, right? Because who's going to interact with 1,000 chains? It's so difficult and complex. So the next thing over... I think modularity is also composability. And the next level is chain abstraction. Completely abstract chain and making it more user-friendly for everybody to use. So when we built Lava, we were thinking that, you know, Lava is like that layer that basically like going from IMP to TCP for the more technically savvy people, but basically it's that protocol that gives you the ease of use for developers to access all these data moves and making it more composable.
And for us, we were like not seeing only the fragmentation there, but nobody going to run nodes for thousands of chains. And you see today that centralized providers are hitting the top of what they can, what they can offer, up to double digits amount of chain, 20, maybe 30. But what about if we go to the, you know, to the thousands of rare roller? Who can support that and who can bring the dApps to communicate with those things?
Yeah, and the familiar names of the states that I recognize are teams like Infura or Alchemy, I think is
another one.
Block Daemon, right? So they're bottleneck. They're not able to scale.
They're great, right? They build really great, reliable services, and we learned a lot, and we're learning a lot from how they run their operations. But think about scaling, not in terms of requests per second, but Think about scaling it in the number of chains they have to support.
Correct.
It's just so difficult because it requires different operation almost for every single in each one of these nodes to be proficient in it.
Well, and also what they are facing challenges within dApps. If they hit the single point of failure, if they are down, so they need now to start implementing load balancers and backups and many stuff, many routing solution for that we built as a in protocol modules of what is Lava bringing to the table.
Maybe I can explain how it would work, like when we have 1,000 rollups.
Yeah,
how Lava would support. So in Lava, we have a concept called SPEV. It's basically a specification, and it tells you what APIs, what RPC commands these nodes need to do. So, for example, for one rollup, you have one command. For another rollup, you have another. In Lava, anyone can come and propose these rollups, these specs on chain. And once they do that, they can get also a small reward throughout upgrading it, maintaining it. So basically, it's harnessing the power of the community to come in and advocate for their rollup and bring it to Lava and get all that service. One more thing that I think is like really cool and really sets us apart from other providers, centralized provider and also the centralized one, is that anyone can come on chain and basically put tokens in a pool on that spec. So let's say you go and you bring, Blast, you bring into Lava. Anyone on Lava can, or any blockchain can come in, put any token on a pool to incentivize node runners to start giving that service.
But we have
in their native token.
Mm-hmm. I do have questions there, but
just one thing to add. As you mentioned, the great centralized provider that some of them already working with us. We don't do the RPC. We're not serving, but we bring in providers and kind of the distribution channel for them.
But in some chains, we find out that the super techie users are, you know, running node anyway, and that they don't get monetized for the existing infra. So think about the concept we started with Uber for nodes, right? They signing up in 5 minutes and receiving like rewards for the up and running existing infra they already have.
Very cool. I'll tell you guys a quick story. When I first got into Ethereum, it was 2016, and in order to own some ETH in a non-custodial wallet at the time, I had to run a full node. So I had to download the entire blockchain in order to have a wallet.
Rings the bell.
And no one was monetizing me to do that, right? So now you mentioned that there are node runners that are running these nodes, that they're not getting monetized, and you're now able to incentivize that operation.
If you're running the node, maybe you can join.
No, that there's a lot more to that story, but I'll tell you guys another time.
We're like a distribution channel for them, right?
Okay. I mean, let's talk more about this economy, because I think a lot of like what our audience is very excited about is the opportunities to get involved and earn some tokens as a result of performing some service, providing services, or performing some operations. So what are the different node, the participants in this Lava economy? There's node runners and then.
So we have validators, which are basically node runs for Lava that progress the blockchain. We have basically what we call providers, which are entities or people who are running nodes, like you run a full node for Ethereum, and they provide access to consumers on our chain. And we have champions. Champions are these advocates for rollups or all chains. They come, they build a spec, they push it on chain, and they keep maintaining it. Whatever software is required to be behind it to support these realms.
Very cool. Okay.
We presented now also the foundation is presenting the Magma. The Magma program now to incentivize, you know, with the point system. They're doing what they call for non-technical users. Every crypto user that has a wallet can just sign up and immediately change the endpoint to Lava and start receiving points. So basically, if you really believe in the values of Web3, if you think about all the values that brought us to jump into this rabbit hole, you know, privacy, censorship resistance, single point of failure we mentioned. So all of that are solvable. And if you want to be part of this journey, join the Magma points.
Yeah. And that's a very easy way to get involved, right? It's only a matter of switching out the RPC endpoint in your MetaMask or your Web3 wallet.
Yeah, we think it's actually too simple. You know what's happening in the last 2 weeks? It's insane. We were not expecting that. You know, we launched it.
You're crazy.
We announced that, and 200,000 wallets and meet our users just joined, and they're compiling that. The team has been working like around the
daylight,
and we are very lucky. It's like our team in Lava, the initial contributors, a lot now what we're building with the community is amazing, and it feels like family, the Lava fan.
Very cool. No, that's all right. I mean, I think we covered quite a bit here, and like this is a great introduction to our community. I mean, we can certainly talk, you know, at length about some of the technical specs. I guess one thing that maybe we can end on is like a theoretical conversation here, which is like, let's say that there's a new rollup, right? Can we walk through that, like what that process is?
Yeah.
From proposing it all the way through to a user maintaining that?
Yeah, of course. So the first step would be to basically see what technology stack it's based on. For example, if it's based on OpenStack or it's based on Arbitrum, we already have pre-main specs for that. So the champion will take that spec, change a chain ID, and make sure it works. Test it locally, make sure it works. And then upload a governance proposal on-chain. Once the proposal is on, the chain can vote on that, and then that can take a couple hours. And as soon as that is deployed, providers, basically node runners, can join and stake tokens on that chain. On that spec. In tandem, the ecosystem come on and say, okay, I see that the spec is on. We're going to give, let's say, 1,000 tokens every month to node runners on this chain. Now, users are able to access this chain and all of these node providers through our protocol. And at the end of the month, the providers get paid based on how quickly the service has, how much service they get.
Awesome. So based on uptime,
yeah,
and
freshness of data is very important.
Fresh,
the latest block, right?
Yeah.
And think about all the roll-ups and chains that want to be deployed on Celestia dimension, right? They need to go through the same hustle. Like, they need to start contracting different centralized provider, have locking contract with them, try to understand the end of the month what's the billing looks like. We take the burden away from each and every those roll-ups by, what Gil mentioned before, the IPRBC, incentivized public RBC. All of that is under the hood within insight to the community. Billing and rewarding at the end of the months and bringing strong provider to make all the ecosystem scalable. That's what we call a Lava build, whatever. We're
very cool. Incentivized public RPCs connecting the modular landscape. Cheers. That's a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you, man.